Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Cover Zero Podcast, a show where I cover the least in the best way possible. I'm your host, Jason Wells. Today is Wednesday, May 7th. We are officially in the dog days of the NFL offseason. Quite literally nothing happening. Obviously, there's a few minor things in the NFL weekly update that we'll talk about. But yeah, this is kind of the stretch of the offseason where there's no training camps, mini camps haven't started. We're just kind of in this weird waiting zone, but nonetheless, I still have a good episode on tap for you guys. So, as I just said, NFL weekly update, and this is going to be a way too early preview of the 2026 draft. I'm just going to be going position by position, talking about guys who you should be on the lookout for this college season. But because we're in the dog days of the offseason, that means that the Hall of Very Good is right around the corner. And if you don't know what the Hall of Very Good is, you know, the Hall of Fame, we all know what the Hall of Fame is, but these are the guys who won't make the Hall of Fame, long shots to make the Hall of Fame anyways, but they deserve some shine because they had great careers as well. That is the Hall of Very Good. Look in my bio on my Instagram, click the link tree, you can find Cover Zero Hall of Very Good nominees, you can vote for who you want to get in, simplest way to do it. I think that'll get started in June, so you got a month to vote for the Hall of Very Good. But this episode though, NFL Weekly Update, early, very early 2026 NFL Draft Preview, so let's get into the NFL Weekly Update here. So starting off with some rather big news, longtime Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has officially been cut from the team. Now this probably isn't coming as a shock to some of you who know that there have been some very serious allegations against Justin Tucker, sexual assault, kind of on the lines of what Deshaun Watson was doing. Not great. But the way that the Ravens phrased this is it had nothing to do with the allegation stuff. It was all kind of what was happening on the field, because it does make it a lot easier that Justin Tucker was definitely on the back nine of his career. I mean, probably more than the back nine. Like, he was a average kicker, like, at best last year. So, yeah, they had the easy out because he just wasn't good regardless. But they couldn't cut him for things that are just alleged, because then the NFLPA would have put up a big stink over it. So, yeah, they phrased it as we're cutting him because he's just not good anymore, which is fair, he isn't good anymore, but he's also an awful human being, so it makes that cut much, much easier. Obviously, like, will a team try to pick him up? I don't know why you would with everything hanging in the air. That would be absolutely crazy for me. But yeah, as like Tucker, who went from, was probably going to be the next kicker inducted into the Hall of Fame after Adam Vinatieri, and now I don't think there's any chance in hell that he makes the Hall of Fame. If any of these things are found true, and even if they're not found true, that stink is still going to be on him the rest of his life. Yeah, Justin Tucker done with the Ravens, so hey, the Ravens can wipe their hands clean of that, and then they got rookie Mike Green coming in, who just kind of brings in the same baggage just a little bit. Andrew Van Ginkle signs a one-year extension with the Minnesota Vikings for $23 million. Great signing for Van Ginkle. Obviously, that means, I mean, they're probably hoping that Dallas Turner takes his spot eventually. When eventually probably meaning, because I think he still has 2 years left on his deal. So this is an extension. So he's still there for the next couple years, but was a defensive player of the year candidate, got votes last year. Very, very good player. I'm sad that Miami let him kind of walk for relative peanuts. But he gets a payday. I want him to get, like, a big payday, because obviously, like, 1 year, $23 million, that's a good payday, but, like, he deserves, like, a 3-4 year deal, like $60-80 million, something like that. Like, he deserves like that generational wealth payday. I'm sure he'll get that coming up soon. But yeah, shout out to the Vikings for keeping one of their guys. Van Ginkle absolutely deserves it. Some lesser signings here. Elijah Moore signs to the Bills for like a 1 year deal up to $5 million. Obviously, Elijah Moore just never really panned out. It was a second round pick by the Jets back in, I forget when, but that doesn't really matter. Wasn't great. Wasn't good. Like, he had some like kind of high moments, and he went to the Browns and it was like, okay, well, like maybe now that he doesn't have a dog shit QB throwing to him, then maybe he'll be a little bit better. But no, the Browns, being the Browns, of course, were also dog shit with Deshaun Watson and just everything. And again, didn't work out. So now he goes with Josh Allen, where this is a, it's not a deep room, but there's good players, and Elijah Moore will definitely have to work his way into the fold, into the mix, if he wants to get any kind of targets, but at least he's on a good, solid offense with the reigning MVP. We'll see if it works out, but again, it's just a name signing at this point. Speaking of just, it's just a name, Robert Woods signs with the Steelers. Well past his prime at this point, but Bobby Trees has been a damn good player over the course of his career. Who knows if it'll be his last year in Pittsburgh, but just, yeah, added vet presence in that room. Maybe he can put Pickens' head on just a little bit tighter, but Robert Wood to the Steelers. Next note up here, Jordan Travis medically retiring from the NFL. If you don't know the name Jordan Travis, that makes sense. He was a fifth-round pick by the Jets in 2024? Yeah, fifth-round pick by the Jets in 2024. He broke his ankle, dislocated his ankle in the last game of Florida State's undefeated season in 2023. And just, it again, the rehab didn't go according to plan. Doctors advised him to just medically retire, and he is. And it absolutely sucks. I don't know if Jordan Travis would have ever developed into a starting QB, or if he would have just been a backup his whole career. I have no idea, but the fact that he never got a chance absolutely stinks, and you wonder why college players sit out of bowl games or these meaningless games. It's because of things like this. Jordan Travis, that injury changed his life, and it was a meaningless game. Last game of the season, they were undefeated against North Alabama. I guarantee you that he did not have to be in that game for Florida State to win. Sucks. It's a very sad career. His last loss as a quarterback came October 26, 2022, and then he didn't lose again. I think it's a kind of cool thing to say that I never lost again in my like quarterbacking career, even though it was just college. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's not something that you ever want to see or hear about, just because that's been his dream. His dream has been an NFL quarterback his entire life, and it got taken away because of a meaningless tackle against North Alabama at the end of the season. Absolutely sucks for Jordan Travis. Interested to see what the future has hold for him, but yeah, that's some tough news to get. The 2027 NFL draft will be held in Washington, D.C., Roger Goodell and Commanders owner Josh Harris met with Donald Trump to, I don't know, just basically put out the press release. The renderings of where the draft's going to be and like what, like it's going to be very scenic anyways. Like, I think they'll have the Capitol building in the background or something like that. Either way, seems like it's going to be a good location for it. I mean, Washington is just on the up and up. I mean, Dan Snyder sells the team, then all of a sudden they get their franchise quarterback, the front office, the coaching staff looks competent, which you haven't been able to say that for a long time for Commanders fans. They're getting a new stadium now. They're hosting the draft in 2 years. It would be awesome to be a Washington fan. I wish I could have that thrill of being excited about my team and whatever. It is what it is, but Washington hosts the draft in 2027. If you're wondering who's hosting the draft in 2026, Pittsburgh. That'll be fun. I mean, Green Bay looked like it was fun, but like Pittsburgh, it's better than Green Bay. More people, either way. We can keep going. And then some final notes on the Jax Albrecht prank call and the aftermath of all of that. So the NFL fined the Atlanta Falcons $250,000 for like their involvement, and then also fined Jeff Albrecht, Jax's dad, the Falcons DC, $100,000 for letting the information leak. I think it's good that they didn't lose draft picks over something like this silly of a thing. Obviously, prank calling someone in your early 20s and then having your dad's workplace fine him $100,000. I would never let, like, I don't know. I would love to be a fly in the wall in the Albrecht household to just see how pissed off his parents are and how much they just don't want to deal with him. And it's nuts. It's a nuts story. We have a conclusion to it. Falcons fined $250,000 and Jeff Albrecht fined $100,000. So yeah, that's the NFL weekly update. Let's get into the consensus, or not the consensus, but let's get into some of these NFL draft prospects. So obviously we are a long ways away, but it's never really too early to throw some names out there of guys who could be first round picks or guys who you should be having, should have an eye out during the college season. So I'm going to do it position by position. I'm going to save quarterbacks for last because quarterback is obviously the position I have the most to talk about here, which is honestly good. After especially like last year's like QB like crop, it wasn't that great. It looks like we're going to have a very, 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 very good QB draft again, regardless of if one guy declares or not, but we'll talk about him when we talk about him. So we'll just start off with running backs here. There's no Ashton Jeantes, or seemingly there's no Ashton Jeantes. Again, a lot of guys are going to rise that I won't talk about, guys who are going to fall off the face of the earth who I do talk about. But again, just a couple guys to just kind of let you know about. Jeremiah Love is the number one consensus at this point, running back out of Notre Dame. Big running back, but not like a bruiser running back. He can be a bruiser, but he just has, I think he's like 6'2", 215, very good size, but he has the speed, has the agility, the shiftiness. If you watched Notre Dame's run in the college football playoffs last year, he was the big, big part of the running game, even though he was banged up. But Jeremiah Love should be the number one running back for the 2026 draft. Other guys who are getting some praise, the two Penn State backs, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. They're back, another year, we'll see how that duo performs. And another guy who I'll be like, keep an eye out on him, it's Jaden Ott out of Oklahoma. He transferred from Cal. I think that basically every running back from Cal transferred this offseason. But he's a name to watch where he might be a riser later on. But again, I have no idea. We'll move on to the wide receivers here. As of right now, no one, there's no clear consensus number one. A lot of people have ideas or who they think that their guy's going to be for this one. I'll also mention who I want my guy to be in this one. But for wide receivers anyways, we have Carnell Tate out of Ohio State. He's not even the wide receiver one on his own team. So this is the start. This is the wide receiver draft that we're going to have. 2027 is the year to get a wide receiver with Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams and whoever else. Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State, another name. Eric Singleton Jr. out of Auburn. Evan Stewart out of Oregon. Kevin Concepcion out of Texas A&M. I just love saying that name. Jaden Greathouse out of Notre Dame. What other names? Antonio Williams out of Clemson. Again, these are just names. They'll rise, they'll fall. Wide receiver, not strong. But the guy who I'm going to keep an eye out is Nick Arbor out of South Carolina. And the reason why I like him so much, so he's been on Bruce Feldman's freak list that he does at the start of every college year, basically since he's been a freshman. And it makes sense. He's 6'5", he's 230, and he probably runs a 4.3. Like, he's a DK Metcalf clone. well, he just needs to, like, again, he needs to put things together, and I'm thinking with him and Lenora Sellers, it could be a big year for both of them, but Nick Arbor is going to be an absolute demon come combine time next February. So again, long time for now, but 6'5", 230, might run a 4'3". That's scary athleticism, and when you're a scary athlete, the NFL loves to take notice. Tight end, really not much to talk about. Maybe Oscar Delp out of Georgia. That's kind of it. Like, other than that name, no other name has really been thrown out that I really need to see, so we can just move on. Interior offensive line, again, not a lot, but there's been a couple people who I follow, and for my own consensus board, it's mainly just guys who I listen to and I respect their draft takes. Not Mel Kiper, obviously, but two of my guys have already put out, again, way too early big boards. That's Trevor Sikkema over with PFF and Nate Tice over with Yahoo Sports and Football 301. They included Jake Slaughter out of Florida, who as the top interior offensive line prospect. So got to bring him up. I don't think there's anyone else to really talk about. Offensive tackle, though. Offensive tackle is, you need a tackle next year. This is the draft for you. Again, potentially. We'll see how much these guys rise and fall. But lots of names here to talk about. We have Caden Proctor out of Alabama. The massive human. I think he's like 6'8", 360. Like, he is a huge human being. He's trying to slim down a little bit. People might be like, oh, maybe he's a guard because he won't, like, he's not the most fluid mover anyways. But again, he's, as of right now, the consensus number one tackle. That will definitely change. I think that he's the guy who, he committed to Bama, played at Bama, like freshman season at Bama, was there, and then he's like, no, I'm going to go to Iowa. Transferred to Iowa, played there, and he's like, okay, I'm going back to Bama. Now he's back at Bama, and he's staying at Bama, but Caden Proctor, I think he's going to be a bit of a weird prospect to analyze and scout, but we'll keep going. Francis Mauigoa out of Miami. His older brother just got drafted by, I forget who, but he might, his... I think it's funny, because I think that, so, his older brother, Francisco Mauigoa, just got drafted, and he's Francis Mauigoa. Very creative by the parents there, but he's another name to look out for. We have two Utah tackle prospects who are getting some buzz, Spencer Fano and Caleb Lomu. So Spencer Fano started as a true freshman in 2023 at that left tackle spot. And then in 2024, Caleb Lomu came in and kicked him over to right tackle. Kicked Fanu over to right tackle. Lomu played left tackle, and then that's just kind of what they're rolling with here. Lomu, in my opinion, younger prospect, and obviously if he's kicking the other guy over to right tackle, they clearly have a little bit more faith in him. Regardless, I have no idea. Lomu is someone who I think could end up being tackle number one in this class, but again, we're a very, very long ways away. Then there's Isaiah World out of Oregon. I think he's also just a huge human being. Is there anyone else? I think Austin Barber got named in my consensus rankings here. Yep, he did. Who ranked him? Nate Tice did. Nate Tice had him as a top 25 prospect. So, there could be like five or six really good tackle prospects for next year, which I know that everyone loves to hear. On the defensive line, this is the thing. I don't like the way that the consensus board works a little bit, because they just have defensive line and then edge, but I know for a fact that TJ Parker is an edge player and not. So I'm just going to talk about... hopefully the guys who I know are interior defensive line guys. And really, that just might be Peter Woods out of Clemson. TJ Parker's running mate. So Peter Woods, I think, is a better defensive line prospect than Mason Graham. That's saying something, because Mason Graham's really fucking good. But Peter Woods, they used him at edge last year at Clemson. I think they're kicking him back to the interior for this season. But again, he might be the best defensive player in this draft. Again, I have no idea. I guess we'll just talk about like the defensive line in general, including edge. There's Caleb Banks and Tyreek Sapp out of Florida. So look at that Florida line for the college season. They might make some noise. And then, I mentioned TJ Parker out of Clemson too. So him, Peter Woods. Honestly, like from a draft perspective, this Clemson team's looking pretty damn good. I already put a future on them to win the national championship, just because you never know. You never know. But and we'll go to some edge players here. Reuben Bain out of Miami has seemed to be like, oh, he's everyone's edge number one right now at this moment. Again, nothing really to go off of there, at least for me anyways. But if you're watching any Miami games, look at the D-line, look at edge. That's Reuben Bain. There is Mateo Uiagalelei out of Oregon. If that last name sounds familiar, his older brother, DJ, was a UDFA. I think he signed with the Bears. But, was a five-star recruit, went to Clemson, was supposed to take over for Trevor Lawrence. Just never worked out. It's crazy because, I mean, like, college is such a weird game, and being a quarterback, it's just such a weird position. It's such a hard position, too, because those games that he took over for Trevor Lawrence late in games or when Lawrence was injured, he looked like he was going to be the next first overall pick, the next like top QB in the NFL draft, and it just didn't work out that way. But his younger brother, Mateo, he's an edge player. A little bit of an easier position. Still, obviously, fucking difficult, but he's at Oregon. He's a name to watch out. And then Dennis Sutton out of Penn State. Penn State just seems to always reload this edge rusher position, but he's supposed to take over from Abdul Carter. I think he's 6'5", 270. Like, he's got the ideal edge rusher size. And then LT Overton out of Bama, another name to look out for. Linebacker, I was actually surprised. There was a couple linebackers listed on my consensus board anyways, just from the two guys, so I'll talk about those guys quickly. It's Anthony Hill Jr. out of Texas. Again, name to watch out for. CJ Allen out of Georgia. And who was the other guy here? CJ Allen. And then Deontay Lawson, who I'm looking at like the NFL mock draft database consensus board thing. What was his name? Deontay Lawson? Where did he go? Oh, Antorian York. That's also a name. Okay, yeah, Deontay Lawson, Antorian York. So Torian York, Texas A&M, not listed that high, but I just keep scrolling, trying to find Deontay Lawson, and I can't, unless I skipped over it, and I just completely, oh, I did. Deontay Lawson goes to Bama. Bama's got those linebackers, obviously, so he was paired up with Jahad Campbell and that stuff this year, but name to watch out for at corner. Again, not a ton to really go off of right now, but it's Jermaud McCoy out of Tennessee, Avion Terrell out of Clemson, and then Malik Muhammad out of Texas. Those are kind of the top three guys right now. Those are all guys on my consensus board as well. And safety, usually there wouldn't really be someone to talk about at safety, but there's Dylan Thienemann. I probably said that wrong. Thienemann, I don't know. Him out of Oregon. He, again, will probably be like a fringe first-round guy because of the safety position. But most people's consensus number one player in this class right now is safety Caleb Downs out of Ohio State. Does absolutely everything you could want in a safety. He's physical. He can cover well. He can the makeup speed on the ball to get interceptions and like get pass breakups. He's really been, like, since he's stepped into college football, he's been the best safety in the NCAA for two straight seasons. He's about to make it a third. It's like safety is one of those weird positions where like it is undervalued, and probably like the last like really high safety pick that we had was Derwin James, but even before that, I think Jamal Adams was a top five pick. Like Caleb Downs, again, with injuries and if he has a down season, but like if he has, again, if he plays the way he plays, no injuries, he should 100% be a top 10 pick next year. And safeties don't get really talked about as top 10 picks unless they are elite, elite prospects. And that is exactly what Caleb Downs is. Obviously, not going to talk about kickers and punters. So let's get into the talk that we all want to don't know about. It's quarterback. This is a very, very good draft for the quarterback position. So I'm just going to list off some names here and then we'll go from there. But Drew Aller, obviously, again, I'm still of the belief that if Drew Aller would have declared this year, he would have been a first round pick. He would have been the second QB off the board. He would have been taken ahead of Jackson Dart, obviously. I think there would have been a discussion of him over Cam Ward, but either way, he has all the tools. You can see it. He has the arm. He has like the build and the athleticism and everything like that. But there just needs to be more consistency there. Make the easy things look easy. But again, if he puts it all together this year, then he will be a high QB pick. Garrett Nussmeier out of LSU. Someone who I think was good that they went back to school. I did not understand the Garrett Nussmeier hype whatsoever. I just see like a fine quarterback. I don't think he has too many high-end traits. Again, I just think he's a good quarterback, but he's getting some first-round buzz at the moment. Cade Klubnik out of Clemson, I think a former five-star recruit, and he's gotten better every single year he's been at Clemson. Now this is one of the better Clemson teams that they've put around him since he's been the starter. So another great year, another, like, if he keeps building year after year after year, going into your draft year, he could be a first-round pick. I guess we'll see. This consensus board has Nico Iamaleva and Carson Beck. Carson Beck is an afterthought. He will be a UDFA. It does not matter. His stock is irrelevant. Nico, I'm interested to see what he does at UCLA. I doubt he declares, but again, could be, if everything goes super well for him, could be a first-round pick. Sam Levitt out of Arizona State. They made the college football playoff last year. He looks like to be a good, solid QB, but again, it's more of a fringe. Fernando Mendoza is a guy who people have been mocking in first rounds as like, oh, look at me being like, this fresh new name. So Fernando Mendoza was the Cal QB last year, and he transferred to Indiana to work with, what's that coach's name? He was like the Buffalo coach and the James Madison. Kirk Cignetti? I think it's Kirk Cignetti. Look at me go. I got football knowledge. But Fernando Mendoza is someone who, like, the real sharps of the draft are being like, keep an eye out for this kid. I already have a plus 8,000 ticket for him to be first overall. And my QB1 of this draft is Lenoris Sellers out of South Carolina. He is a fun, fun quarterback. And he has all of the traits and tools that could make him into an absolutely elite dual threat QB at the next level. He's built, I think he's like 6'3", 240. He's got the speed, he's got the arm, but kind of like Drew Aller, he just needs to make the simple things look easy. Another year to build off of at South Carolina. I think the South Carolina team's like kind of building something like quietly. But I think that, again, if everything goes well for him at South Carolina this year, no injuries, no whatever, I think that he could definitely be the first overall QB taken just off traits alone. We know how obsessed NFL teams are with traits, but he'll have the traits along with the production that goes along with it. I have a Heisman ticket on him. I have a, and this is actually a good bet that I have on him, is as soon as those 2026 first overall pick odds opened, I always look for like value plays. And I saw Sellers listed, I think, at plus 2,000. I was like, that's way too low. He's the most freaky QB, and NFL teams love freaky QBs. So bet him at plus 2,000, and then I checked a couple days later. He was already down to plus 900. So I got crazy value on that regardless. We'll see if it works out. But you might be wondering, wait, aren't you missing someone? And technically I am. It's Arch Manning. The number one consensus QB across the board, on the mocks, whatever. It's Arch. He hasn't played college football. He's played two games. He started in two games against bad competition, and he kicked the shit out of them, as he absolutely should. But this isn't me knocking Arch. He can obviously be an incredible prospect, an incredible college QB. We just haven't seen it. But the reason why I'm not really talking about him as I'm talking about him, it seems like a lot of draft guys and scouts and, again, smarter media personalities who are have more of a know or more of like a foot in with college and how things work. It seems like he's going to stay, which I don't blame him. If you look at what both of his uncles did, Peyton and Eli, they could have come out whenever, but no, they were four-year players. They got their degrees. They're all good. And I think that Arch is going to follow the same plan. I don't know why he wouldn't. Like, obviously, if you're, like, projected to be the first overall pick, and, like, it's hard to turn that down and go back to college, but at least the college guys are getting paid now. Obviously, NFL money versus college money, and, like, oh, what happens if Arch gets hurt the year next? It's like, okay, great, if he gets hurt, he'll still be the first overall pick, because everyone will be like, yeah, that kid's fucking good. We don't really, again, unless it's like, oh, it's a career-ending injury, blah, 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 like, shit does happen, but I don't think he's going to declare next year. I think he's going to have his first full season at Texas, and then he'll come back, have another full year, ramp up the Heisman talk, whatever. It's just a lot of people are talking that he's just going to go back to school. Again, hasn't been out of Arch's camp or anything, but I don't know. I also get the, again, I follow a lot of draft people on Twitter, and it seems to be that everyone thinks that he's going back. You see the ESPN shows and the hot take shows that are all talking about Arch just to talk about something, where it feels like the people who are actually like in the know with that stuff get the opinion that he's going to stay, get his degree, finish it out, play more than fucking 10 starts for Texas. But I don't know. But those are the very, very early thoughts on this 2026 NFL draft. Obviously, things will shift and change as we go. But those are a few names to at least keep an eye out on. Interested to see what happens. There's obviously going to be some risers and fallers. But at least the quarterbacks, because what? I listed like eight guys. I mean, two of them were, I mean, one of them was Carson Beck, and he doesn't fucking count, but like, there should be, you know what, I will plant my flag right now. There will be four QBs taken in the first round next year. We'll see if that happens. I have no idea, but that does it for this episode anyways. Next week, I don't really know what's on tap. I think the schedule, actually it sucks, because the schedule comes out on Wednesday, which is when this is out. But since I obviously record the day before, I'm not going to have to break down the schedule. And I don't think I'm going to do like, oh, breaking down the schedule, whatever. Like, I'll pick up some matchups that probably talk about in an NFL weekly update. But yeah, we'll see. If you're still listening, Hall of Very Good, link in the bio. Please go vote. It's very interesting. I really like doing the Hall of Very Good. I think if I like stop the podcast, I'm going to continue to do the Hall of Very Good, just because I do think it's interesting to have a database of just, database, put that in air quotes, but just like, I don't know, of good players that like I grew up watching who deserve the recognition, even though they're not going to get into the Hall. But either way, good episode, shorter episode, but again, it is the dead point of the off season. So as always, if you have liked this, please like, share, retweet, subscribe, tell all your friends, and until next time, peace.